So, welcome to Spring 2011 Psychology 281, Learning and Behavior. Probably called something else in the calendar, but really that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the field of learning and behavior, which is actually one of the oldest disciplines within the field of psychology that's still continuing. Sorry it took a while to get all this stuff up, and I actually recognized this morning there's, I think the syllabus link has vanished. So I'll get that fixed. I was not able to... I've had a few problems getting things mounted. So the university sort of eliminated my email account. So I had to get in here. Just got back into town, so I could only deal with that in person. So that's now back. And for some reason, I wasn't able to FTP any of my notes or things up until I actually physically came on site, and we got that straightened out. So... it looks like there's still a problem with the syllabus link, or I just goofed, although it seemed to work yesterday. So I'll get that, I'll get the syllabus fixed, but it looks like everything else, at least, on the site is working. So I did manage, as I said, to get my email back up and going yesterday. So I have a class list for everybody, and I've got access to all of your ualberta.ca emails. And so... yesterday at some point, probably about 5 or 6 o'clock, once I got access to this again, I sent you all an email with the link to the course website. So you've got that tucked away, buried into your email. If not, it's written over there, and it will show up. It's over there. So, okay. So that's the course, website. All the stuff will be on there, the syllabus, PowerPoint slides. For the first four classes are up, and I should have, I think, the rest of the course material up by the end of the week. Podcasts. I'm running a GarageBand up here on my rather archaic and old little notebook, and it will record the melodious sounds of my voice. Hey. No laughing at the melodious sounds of my voice. The reason I do this is a few. It's a three-hour class, okay? And shit happens, okay? You may have to miss a class for some reason. I'm not even going to ask you why that is. Unless it's an exam class, in which case then we have to actually talk. But if you have to miss a three-hour class, I mean, you miss a 50-minute class, you've missed 50 minutes, it's like a bit of a chapter. You miss a three-hour class, you're missing pretty much an entire chapter, huge chunk. So I record what I'm saying, so in conjunction with the PowerPoint slides, with the podcast, the audio of my yammering on up here at the head of the class, you can hopefully get yourself caught up. And if you've got any questions, just come see me. Come talk to me, and we'll get you back up to speed. This is not meant to be an excuse for you not to bother coming to class. You're adults. That's your choice. It's offered as a service to help people out. Assignments will be up on the website. I'll probably have the first assignment up by this evening, with the second coming up shortly thereafter. Okay, a few other little bits of information. The department has given me an office. It's way up on the fifth floor of the... who's gotten lost in the psych wing? Before? Yeah, it's messed up, okay? Actually designed to test spatial cognition. Wasn't really built for that, but we have used it for that. We have, in fact, gotten people lost in the biological sciences building and seen if they could actually find their way back out again and how long this would take. Not everyone's made it back out, interestingly enough. We had to send some people in to find a few of the subjects, but anyways. They've given me an office up on the fifth floor, 551. I honestly don't expect to be there very much. There's also a phone up there, but really, I'll check it periodically, but, there it is. The best way to get me is probably via email. There it is, mrsnyder@ualberta.ca. Or by seeing me here at class. For office hours, I'll be here a half hour before class and a half hour after class. I'll either be here, or maybe sitting on one of the benches outside, but we'll do that. Or if that doesn't work for you, you can always set something up with me by appointment. We can make other arrangements. But honestly, very few people are really going to want to trudge all the way up to the fifth floor of the psych wing there to sit in the office that's really no more comfortable than this classroom, or the comfy benches outside. So those are the office hours for now. So Tuesday, Thursday, 10 to 10:30, 1:30 to 2. Or if that doesn't work for you, we can set something else up. If I'm sitting in front of something that I can connect up to Skype, I flip Skype on. So, you know, you can always check if you're interested to see if I'm there or not. Let's see, email. Yeah, there it is. I get just an awful amount of spam. Spam. I've been putting up web pages since 95, I think. And back in the early day, the idea was put your email address on everything because that way people can get a hold of you. And then, of course, the little web crawling spam bots started tracking that. And so I am in every, like, Nigerian pyramid scam database that's ever been set up in the last, roughly 20 years. So I get a lot of spam mail. So I have a fairly evil spam checker on my email account, which will purge most of what gets through quite ruthlessly. Because I once, you know, being a scientist, decided to, you know, do a descriptive study on this, and over a one-month period, I found that 89% of what I was being sent was actually just spam. So it's yuck. Please try to remember to put psycho281 in the subject line. If you do that, it will automatically get routed to a mailbox for psychology281, and I will go to that, and my spam killer won't try to obliterate your stuff. If you don't, it might get dumped into my trash. I look at that, you know, once or twice a week, sort of thing, before purging, but I may not necessarily catch it. So just do that. Second, please use, you don't have to, but I strongly encourage you to use your ualberta.ca email account. I've only once had a problem with getting stuff from the ULBERTA account, and that's when the entire university system was hacked and was down for 3 days. I have had problems either receiving or sending to Gmail, Yahoo, Shaw, just about everything else. Okay, so sometimes, you know, students going, why aren't you responding to my email? It's like, I don't know, am I getting your email? I sent it 4 times. It's like, I don't see it. Here, look at my computer. It's not there. Oh, are you through Yahoo? Oh, yeah, okay. So anyways, I've never had problems. You can go ahead and use whatever you like. But the U of A, you are paying to get access to this email account at a completely obscene tuition level. So I strongly encourage you to use your ULBERTA CA account and send lots of long emails off to foreign places and get some value for your money. Okay, it doesn't work quite like that, but still. Please put at least your name in the message. ID number is great, too. That way I sort of know who you are. It's not because I'm, like, profiling you or tracking you or something, but I sometimes get people, they might use different email accounts, especially if you're texting, you're going with your mobile or something, and it's like, so I asked you last week, dot, 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 and it's like, who are you? You know, your mobile account name may not give me very much information. So if you at least put your name in there, I can go back through my logs and say, this is the conversation we were having. Excellent. Okay? As opposed to my going, who are you? Bob! How many Bobs there are? I mean, look. Slightly fewer Bobs than there are Michaels, which is me. Maybe leave up to, it may take me as many as a couple of business days to get to your email. This isn't the only thing I'm doing during the term, but I will try to be as prompt as I can with that. Okay, so there's that. Prerequisites, this one's pretty straightforward. You have to have Psycho 104 or some equivalent from another university elsewhere, but, you know, an intro psych course. So you have to have that already. You have to have passed it, not just sat in on a few classes. So if you've done that, we're good. It is technically a prerequisite. It is not a co-requisite, so you can't be taking these concurrently. Textbook, this thing, there's scads of them over in the bookstore. I went over and took a look. Piles of used ones. They've been using this text for a long time. Before anyone asks, I almost always get this, why is there a picture of a kid jumping into a pool on the cover of a learning and behavior text? I have no idea. He's learning to swim? I don't know. He's learned to keep his eyes sort of open. I have no idea. The previous picture on the previous edition was a kid standing in front of a giant aquarium. He's learning to look at fish? I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Regardless, you can probably also find these if you don't want to go to the bookstore and buy their used copy. You can probably find other people that are advertising, selling these, and haggle with them to get the price down a bit. So go with that. We will be covering roughly a chapter per class. Okay? Right, course evaluation, course material stuff. Like I said, this will be, it's on the website. I'll get the syllabus link fixed. Don't know what happened there again, but here we go. Here's the basics. Midterm exam, 25%, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7. We'll get back to 6 afterwards. And that's on 29th of May from start of class. You'll have an hour and a half to do it. About 10 or 15 minutes after the exam is over, start teaching again. So that's not the only thing we'll be doing on the 29th of May. Final exam, it's either the 14th or 15th of June. I'm not quite sure which yet. Like I said, I just got back yesterday, so we'll find out on that one and I'll pop that up. But it's either going to be 14th or 15th of June. 35% cumulative, so we'll cover stuff from the entire course, but there will be a greater emphasis on the material that we've dealt with after the midterm. So probably two-thirds of the stuff will be post-midterm. I mean, look, some of the concepts run across all of the chapters. I mean, you know, we'll talk about what is learning or what is a methodological design, and that pretty much runs throughout the whole course afterwards. But specific sort of question-related stuff will be post about two-thirds post-midterm. There are, now, nobody pass out on this. Yeah, there's four assignments. I'm leaving. No, it's not that bad. They're short answer. They'll like a couple of pages of short answer sort of questions. Like I said, I'll have the first one up by this evening. You can take a look at it. They're not that bad. Okay. Don't believe me? Take a look at the assignments when I get it up. I should have probably all of the assignments for the whole course posted by the end of the week. So, well before you have to decide whether or not you're dropping the course because of this, okay? So I get how this works, okay? Really, they are not big time consumers. You come to class, you read your textbook, you have a modicum of thinking. You should be able to figure these out. You do not have to go off to the library, do detailed research, okay? Investigate things in a profound way. Read tons of journal articles. I mean, you can. Don't get me wrong. If you want to go off to the library and read tons of journal articles, good job. Okay? Not necessary. All right? June 15th, 22nd, 31st of May, and the last one on the 7th of June. Exams? Sorry, this is sort of boilerplate stuff now. Exam questions are proprietary, may not be copied, transcribed, photographed, yada, 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 yada. The reason that's up there now is because a few years ago we had some students that were taking pictures of exams during exam viewing and then sending them around to all their friends. And their excuse, which actually had prevented them from being expelled, was, well, nobody told me I couldn't. But the TA did, but wasn't written down anywhere. You just got... That's just the TA's word. Barracks lawyers. Now we put this in here. So exam material is proprietary. If you decide to photograph it, send it around, yada, 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 and we somehow catch up with you, they'll probably expel your ass. Okay? So fair warning. There we go. There's sample questions already up on online, so you get a sense of what the kinds of multiple choice questions are on the exams. Midterm, 75 multiple choice, you got 90 minutes. Final, 100 multiple choice questions, 120 minutes. Okay, that's more than a minute a question. Woo! Sort of the standard in the psych department is a minute a question sort of thing, but yeah, okay. Should have plenty of time. If you miss the midterm, this has to be because you were seriously ill, like actually seriously ill, not, oh dear, can't do the exam today. Okay. Basically, we need to have documentation of this, okay? There's a medical emergency or death in your immediate family. I'm sorry, non-humans don't count for this. We've had that come up. Religious event of a recognized religious group. You cannot use druidism, right? The sacred drink of druids is beer. If you tied one on the night before and are a bit, you have a holy hangover. That does not get you out of the exam. I tried this when I was an undergrad. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Okay. So, but if there is, I don't think there's anything specifically on the days of the exams. But honestly, I don't know all the world's great religions, so let me know on that one. If you miss the midterm for some reason, and frankly, these are university regs, okay? These aren't my statements, these are university regs. But if you miss the midterm, the weight gets transferred onto the final. There's no makeups, rewrites, whatnot. So just you put the weight onto the final. That, you know, makes the final worth, 60%, which is a lot, you know. If you really love pressure, then sure. If you're like most of the Canadian figure skaters that choke in the finals, then don't do that. If anyone follows figure skating, you'll know what I mean. Okay, the final exam. Now, this one is really not up to me. If you miss the final exam, you have to go to your faculty. I think you have to pay them money. And then you have to give them your justification for why you missed the final. You have to pay them first, I understand. And they will decide whether or not they think you've got a valid reason for missing the final. If they don't think you do, you don't get the money back. So it kind of sucks. So because I'm going on vacation, will not work with your faculty office, okay? They also have access to all your records, and they keep track of how often people miss final exams and appeal for deferred. So if they see that there's a string of these, then they're probably likely to go, yeah, I don't think so. If you do miss the final and are granted a deferred by your faculty office, you will write the final exam on the 12th of July from 2 to 4 p.m. I think it's going to be in room BSP 226. So don't miss, if you have to miss the final for some reason. And look, I mean, honestly, if you really are sick or something, go for the deferred, okay? As opposed to, I had a student, yeah, I had a student once, he broke his leg on the way into his final exam. Yeah, really, I used to teach this course years back over in one of the engineering buildings, and he came in, he slipped on ice, broke his leg, cracked, I don't know, one of the bones in his leg, and came into class, sat down, somewhat delirious with pain, wrote the exam, failed abysmally, actually worse than chance. I'm not entirely sure how that happened. Michael, maybe you're just a really bad student. No, actually, he was the midterm, and his assignments were all up in the 80s sort of thing, so just writes the exam. It's like, and it's like, whoa, obviously he wasn't thinking particularly clearly on this one. We did manage to get that one wiped off and give him a deferral, but yeah, I mean, if you really got something wrong with you, don't write the exam, because you probably won't do well, okay? So, there we go. All right. Yeah, let's see. I already started talking about this a little bit, but just to finish up with assignments. Yeah, there's short written answers, a few sentences kind of thing, sometimes some graphing, maybe a little bit of calculation. You can work in a partnership on this if you want, so in a group of up to two students, no more. Groups don't work together, okay, sort of thing. The required assignments are required by the end of class, on the day that they are due, by which I mean the point at which I like to walk out the door sort of thing. Whenever, if we're done a few minutes early, that's the end of class, okay? So don't go, I've got until exactly 1:20 to finish this. Hey, where'd Snyder go? Well, you have to take it. So I was here by 1:20. It's like, I finished teaching at 1:14 today. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of...
Ideally, have it done for the beginning of class, right?
But I've taught this long enough to know that's not actually going to happen. So I have learned the hard way. So anyways, after class is over, if it's not in by then, there's an immediate 10% late penalty. And then there's another additional 10% penalty each day thereafter as of 12 o'clock. So high noon, okay? At which point the department office shuts down for lunch. So anything that's not been either gotten directly to me or into the my mailbox in the department is going to get another 10% penalty. Easiest way to lose points on the assignments is just to be late. You really don't need to be, okay? So, right. Hey, if you're done early, you can turn it to be early as well. It's like, you know, once all the assignments are up by the end of the week, I did all of them. It's like, well, keen, okay. All right, fine, sure. You can either give them to me directly, you know, or if they're late, give them to me directly, or drop them off at the Psychology General Office. That's BSP 217. They're open Monday to Friday from 8 to 12 and 1 to 4. I only put Monday to Friday. That may seem obvious, but we have had two students come and bitch and complain that the department was not open on the weekend so that they could hand in their now stunningly late assignment. That's called, we talk about that in terms of self-worth and ego. And if you assume that the rest of the world is going to be open on your schedule, then you need some counseling. Okay, anyhow, here's the grading scheme. This is all up on the website as well. First off, I don't grade on a curve. Curves are basically evil, okay? It's the short form. Frankly, in a class this size, statistically, it's iffy. If we could even fit a curve to a class this size, we're a bit low, but leaving that aside. The other problem with fitting curves is that they assume that you've got a normal sample of the population, and with all due respect, you people are not normal. I mean, you're here in spring session during some of the only nice weather we get this far north, and you're sitting in a basement. I mean, how messed up is... I mean, how forward-thinking and dynamic that... Either way, however you want to spin it, not a normal sample of... let alone students that take 281, let alone universities, let alone humans. So there's something going on here, okay? So we have some issues with that. So statistically, it doesn't really work. A second thing here is, let's try this. Who wants, a grade of A or higher? Well, this actually won't be... Oh, okay, here we go. It's like, me? Oh, well, okay, that's going to be pretty easy in a few more hands. Yeah, if I grade it on a curve, I can't give that many people A's. Let's try it the flip side. Who wants to fail? Yeah, I once had someone go, I'll do it! It's like, dude, what did you take just before coming into the class? I'd have to fail some of you, okay? So the flip sides of curves are, yes, a set number of people get A pluses and A's, and well, actually the A plus is not necessarily... A's at least, but I'd also have to, by necessity, fail a certain segment. And I don't think that's entirely cool, so I don't do that. Third reason for this is the competitive aspect of curves. I actually start out in zoology. My bachelor's is in zoology. Back when I was doing zoology, there were a lot of students that were like in a, I don't know if it still works this way in like the biology department here at the U of A, but back in the day when dinosaurs roamed the earth, it seems like, when I was in my undergrad, a lot of the zoology people were like pre-med, so they were like highly competitive. And in one of our classes, we actually had a student who was, you know, very good, you know, was getting the high grades and sort of thing. And she actually poisoned the other students. I mean, nothing fatal, but, you know, she used her pre-med medical knowledge to find a really wicked laxative and dosed his coffee with it. So he didn't do particularly well on the final exam. With that. Okay, so look, my point is, if you grade on a curve, you get shit like that happening. Because it's like, well, if somebody else could get a high grade, I can't. So it's kind of a Klingon approach to things. I will take out the commander of the ship and seize the drone. Okay, it's like, I was, yeah, okay. Anyways, I was in a Star Trek club when I was an undergrad as well. So this made sense. You don't have to poison anyone, even with a laxative. Unless you're into that sort of thing, but that's the abnormal psychology course, okay? So, look, you've got a chance to work as partners on the assignment, right? It's like, I will try to destroy my partner on the assignment that I'm getting the same grade on. The only person you're competing with is yourself, okay? So, hey, if everyone gets A's and up, score. I'm good with that. So, you know, someone misses a class and says, what did we cover last class? Oh, yeah, remember you said, you know, something about dinosaurs? Yeah, we did the psychology of dinosaurs. Really? Well, no, you don't. Okay. Don't mess with people, all right? Last one. While I would like to believe that this will be a life-changing course for you, this will be the most significant course you've taken, honestly, you know, this just may be the last course you need to get to graduate. Maybe as long as you're good with, a C+ or something. You know, you just got to get through it, whatever. You can time manage, okay? It's like, hey, I had a grade on the midterm. You know, my first three assignments are smoking. Basically, I can just not do anything. I don't even really have to write the final. I'll pass. Okay, I don't advocate that sort of approach. But, you know, whatever. Maybe you're taking another course. Maybe this is like your last option you have to fill, but you're in linguistics, and you've really got to do well in this linguistics course you're taking at the same time. Fine. It lets you time manage, okay? If it's like, I'm good getting at least a B in this course, adjust your time accordingly, all right? So you know how you are doing, you know, once you get the midterm and some assignments. You know where you're sitting relative to you, okay? No surprises there. Last sort of statement on this, just with respect to the A+, because this has come up a few times. Technically, I probably shouldn't even be giving A+s in this course, or at least it's going to be very, very difficult to do that if I really follow the university intent on this. When there's a very stupid thing with the way the A+s are used here. So an A equates to a grade of 4.0. And an A+ equates to a grade of 4.0. Has anyone else noticed that and think, well, that's dumb? It is dumb. When this was brought in, actually by the students' union, they forced us onto this. The idea was then that the A+ would be like a cherry on top of a sundae. It would indicate students that were performing far beyond the expected level. So, in effect, at a 200-level course, this would have to be evidenced by performing at the level of, say, a fourth-year honor student or, like, just a beginning graduate student in the master's program. We have multiple-choice exams, 70 students, some short assignments. I mean, I can't give you research projects to work on to find out what you've really grasped out of all this. By actually going by the letter of the law, I probably shouldn't be giving A+s at all. So the way I've rigged this is, if you can score 94 or above, bam, you get an A+. 88 or above, you get the A, which gives you the same 4.0, which is not a bad range there. Okay, so there's the grading scheme. Any questions on that? No? Okay. I'll be returning your assignments to you, so you get those, you can look at them. If you did well, you can send them to your mom so she can put it on your fridge. If you did badly, you can crumple it up, make a little, voodoo doll or something, put my name on it, and stick it with pens. I don't care. Whatever. But you get them back. I'll have a midterm viewing, basically, like, once the midterm is done, after class. People can stick around and look at the midterms and see how they did. I'll put a link up to the grades via PDF on the website. If I can manage to get, and given how many fun computer problems I've had so far with trying to get this course mounted and whatnot, we'll see if I can do anything with like Moodle or whatever it is. is. There, I think there's other ways to get the grades up, but at present, they'll at least be a link to this on the website. But, I mean, you get to see all of your stuff. You get to keep your assignments. You get to see your midterms. So, frankly, you can find out how you're doing there. I'll post these onto the PDF by ID. If there's anybody that does not want their ID number, their actual ID number to appear, give me a little written statement about that. I had a student, oh gosh, it's about 6 years ago now, who was estranged from her husband. She had a restraining order on him. He knew her ID number, and her concern was that by looking at posted grades online, he could figure out what her schedule was and be waiting for her outside of a class. And you go, that's crazy. And it's like, did I mention she had a restraining order against him? Because so crazy was sort of what was going on here. So never give your ID number out, even to, you know, I don't care. If you think you're like living a Twilight saga, don't give it out to the glittery guy, even if you think he's going to be good for you. Know, whatever, don't. Keep your ID number private. If we do have a problem with this, then ideally you'd actually go to the registrar's office and get a new ID number. Or, you know, see me and we'll see what we can work out about giving you a fake ID number. Okay. Let's see, appealing grades. Oh, yeah. So, answer justifications. You can come and talk to me about stuff. That's cool. But I strongly, well, I actually require this ultimately, that you do it in writing, because I don't think I'm all that intimidating, but there is a definite difference in power dynamic here. I have it, you're the student, so we've got an issue going on there. And sometimes, despite the fact that I'm slightly pudgy, baldy, and not very tall, you know, this position of incredible power may make people unlikely to be able to speak in front of me or talk coherently, or just drool, whatever it happens to be. I've never had drooling as an issue, but regardless. So you may not be able to muster your best arguments in person talking with me about, as opposed to just, well, I think I should have had a higher grade. Why? Because. Okay. Can you go think about that and write that down and, like, pull in examples, go, whatever, write it out? Okay. It's like, all right. So give that to me. I'll take a look at it. Call it an answer justification. For an assignment, you know, keep your original. Just give me a photocopy of it or a scan or, you know, print out a scan or something. So you've got the original in the off chance that somehow I lose that. I don't want to lose the original. So give me that along with the justification so I can see what you're talking about. You know, highlight the relevant section or sections. If it's a midterm question, I just need the question number and which version of the exam, which key you were working off of so I can figure it out. And again, give your justification. Any university policy, any term work that you've got an issue with has to be addressed before the final exam. This is a bit of a bummer. Wow, I'm old. I used the word bummer. Yeah, okay. 70s, dudes. Okay. You have to get this in before the final. So in spring, I mean, that's a fairly short window between getting the last assignment back and writing the final. So I'm sorry about that one. But the university's rationale for this is if you weren't really concerned about it enough before he wrote the final, and if suddenly you thought, whoa, I did not as well in the final as I thought I was going to, I better go back and see if I can find something where I can scrape up a few more points. The sort of rationale is if you weren't that worried about the questions, appealing the questions before you wrote that final that you didn't do as well as you wanted, then it really wasn't an issue. So. Oh, I will say this. I do not reduce grades, okay? So if you come to me and it's like, I think I should get an extra point on this, and I look at it and go, I don't know what I was thinking. I think you should get a point less on that. I don't do that. I know some profs will, and they'll tell you that right up front. Oh, if you come to me, I'll just regrade your assignment, and it may go up, it may go down. It's like, that's bullshit. That's just designed to keep students from coming and talking to the prof because they don't want to be bothered. That's crap. So I won't do that. I mean, even if it's like, what the hell was I thinking when I gave this question? Okay. No, it's not going up any higher, but it's not going down either. But I won't reduce grades, okay? I want people to come talk. If they've got any concerns, come and see me. Talk about it. Write it up. There we go. Yeah, cheating and plagiarism. There's a detailed listing of this on the syllabus, on the website. Basically, who's read the Code of Student Behavior? Wow, four of you. the rest of you have no idea what's going on with it. The university could pull on. Yeah, well, you should take a look at the Code of Student Behavior. It governs all kinds of things that control your life, whether you know it or not. But regardless, this is all laid out in there. Basically, short form, you shall not represent somebody else's work on an assignment as your own. So that may not be done. You cannot submit, this is another, it doesn't apply too much to this course here, but for example, in other courses, you can't submit the same paper to two different classes. Okay? That's a no-no, right? That's a problem. You've got to get approval from both profs to do something like that, so maybe your project has to be a bit bigger or something, and you can work it as kind of a joint process. And finally, of course, cheating on exams. We're a bit packed in here. I'm going to see if we can get a larger classroom to do this in, but at least for the final, but we may not be able to. So, you know, I try to make it as hard to cheat on the exams as possible by having different exam codes. The questions are in different order. The answers are in different order. There's multiple copies of it. I mean, frankly, if you're trying to spend time, you know, cleverly glancing around at other people, it's a small room. One, I'll see you. Two, it's really not going to help you very much because things are in different order. You'll spend so much time trying to find questions that you're stuck on that really, yeah. So don't do that. 10 years ago, the deans were all kind of like, the pressures of life drove you to cheat on an exam. We'll just mark a notation in your file, but don't do it again. Nowadays, they're all at you, and probably the best you can get away with is a one-year suspension. Yeah. If you get suspended, you say, well, it's okay, I'll just go off to Grant Mac and take courses. They don't count towards your degree. Anything you do during your suspension does not count towards your degree at the U of A. Okay? So, not a good idea. So, please don't do that. It's better for you. It's better for me because then I don't have to deal with the paperwork. But really, it's better for you just not to do this. Class disruptions. We're kind of packed in here. It's not a very big room, so a lot of chit chat going on between people during class. I can deal with a bit of it, but you know, if it's becoming an excessive problem, basically I just ask you to leave. And if that doesn't work, I'll utilize my massive amount of knowledge of punishment from learning behavior and do what I do with my wife's cat and squirt you with a water bottle. So we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, how that works. I used to use jumper cables on batteries, but I was told I couldn't do that ethically anymore. Please turn off your cell phones, right? I mean, I get the desire to text, oh, my prof made the most incredible point ever. But that can be actually, you might say, how is this distracting to other people? Other people, what are you texting? What's exciting? Okay, and if your phone rings and it's like, I just gotta take this. Yeah, don't think you do. So please, at least turn it off. If you're expecting a really important call, set it to vibrate. Besides, you probably can't get reception down here anyways, regardless. So please, you know, no texting, surfing. I mean, this probably isn't a big problem because, you know, I don't know that it's much happening with hockey or games right now, but I have had people sit through class watching hockey games. So it's, then you get everyone around them, it's, you know, like the commercial. Wow, you got sports on that? Yeah. Okay. Any questions about that stuff? That matter? Okay.